भावा कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा राम विष्णु पाद महाम सपरिवार के चार अष्ट दशाशीष श्रीमान सुदन गोस्वामी एसी भक्ति विदांत स्वामी शिव प्रभुपाद की जय राम विष्णु पाद महाम सपरिवार के चार अष्ट दशाशीष श्रीमान सुदन गोस्वामी श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय नमः श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेमसिद्ध हरि श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गौर धाम की जय श्रीवृंद धाम की जय मयपुर धाम की जय जगन्नाथपुर धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय यमुन माई की जय भक्ति देव की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय मिताई गौर प्रेमानंद सामवेत भक्तवृंद की जय हो ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज हो ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज हो ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज हो ग्लोरी हो ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गौरांग हो ग्लोरी टू श्री प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय we continue reading the 10th canto status quo the chapter 5 the meeting of Nandamaharaj and Vasudeva and text 21 to 23. So please repeat. Tam dishtva saha sodhaya. Deha pranami vagatam. Pita priyatam andobhyam. Sasvajetema vihvalaha. Tam dishtva saha sodhaya. Deha pranami vagatam. Pita priyatam andobhyam. Sasvajetema vihvalaha. Tam dishtva saha sodhaya. Deha pranami vagatam. Pita priyatam andobhyam. Sasvajetema vihvalaha. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Vasudeva had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection, being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudeva suddenly present, he got up and embraced him with both arms. Purport. Nanda Maharaj was older than Vasudeva. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj embraced him and Vasudeva offered him namaskara. Another two verses. Pujita sukitam asinah, sukham asinah, pristva namayam adritaha, prasakta dhih svatma jayor idam aha visat vishampate. O Maharaj Parikshit, having thus been received and welcomed by Nanda Maharaj with honor, Vasudeva sat down very peacefully and inquired about his own two sons because of intense love for them. And last word, verse, jishtya brata pravayasa idanim aprajasyate prajasaya nivritasya prajayat samapadyata. My dear brother Nanda Maharaja, at an advanced age you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one, Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. Purport. At an advanced age, one generally cannot beget a male child. If by chance one does beget a child at this age, the child is generally female. Thus Vasudeva indirectly asked Nanda Maharaja whether he had actually begotten a male child or a female child. Vasudeva knew that Yashoda had given birth to a female child, whom he had stolen and replaced with a male child. This was a great mystery, and Vasudeva wanted to determine whether this mystery was already known to Nanda Maharaja. On inquiring, however, he was confident that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his being placed in the care of Yashoda was still hidden. There was no danger, since Kamsa, at least, could not learn what had already happened. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyan Timirambhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Multam Yana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yana Vitale Svam Rupakadam Ahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Panevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Adhyana Lambita Bujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagapriya Karo Karuna Avataro. So we continue reading the talk, the conversation between Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, and in a purport, in this story we all see that how the devotee is completely enchanted by Krishna, and they start talking about him and become concerned with him. And yes, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, that actually for the ordinary living being, for all ordinary living entities, it's very difficult to understand the appearance of Lord Krishna in this age on the planet. It's very difficult for ordinary living people to understand. once in India, it was in India, and one Indian gentleman asked Srila Prabhupada, could you please tell us about six philosophical system in this world, traditional Vedic philosophy? And Srila Prabhupada smiled and said, from this Shad Darshana, there's only four left, Chah Darshan left. And he started explaining to him what that four Darshana means. So he said that the first philosophy in Kali Yuga that left is the famous philosophy of Nietzsche. He said that God actually is dead. He explained that and the churches and temples is like a grave tomb on his grave the tomb. So this is a philosophy, materialistic philosophy, that they don't believe that God is present, that God is, actually God is dead, and the founder Acharya is Nietzsche. Actually, way before, there is another one. And second one is another category of people who are saying that, we believe in God, and maybe it exists, but he actually doesn't care about us much. And he's an old man, and he's bald, and staying somewhere in the clouds, and he doesn't care about us, and we don't care about him. So he just created this world within 6 days and a 7 days, because he was too old and wasn't satisfied with his creation. He was just stay aloof from that. So this is the second category of second philosophy of people. So the third category of people is saying that, well, maybe we believe in God, yeah, maybe God exists, it's okay. But actually, if he comes and if he appears on this earth, I want to kill him. Or I envy him so much that, well, this category of people who envies him and they want to say that actually this I'm actually God. So this is the fourth category of people, the most sweet to our heart. And when those people who saying that actually, yes, there is a God, and this God stay right in front of you, that's me. This is fourth category of people. They're saying that I'm God. Once I heard the story about, I think Buddy Narayan told that in San Diego, one man came and said, well, actually, you're worshipping me very much in this temple. Hinting that they're worshipping me, I'm a God here, so they're worshipping me. So this philosophy, this materialistic philosophy, they actually moved out the all authorized philosophies in this world. And actually because of this philosophy, it's very difficult for people to understand how the Supreme Lord comes in this world and how he appears in this world. And why, and what the purpose of his appearance. It's very difficult for ordinary people. And in Vedic literature, it explains very nicely the purpose of coming, appearing of the Supreme Lord on the earth. And Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita himself, in this famous verse, Parichanaya sadhanam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavani yuge yuge. So he said that actually I am coming millennium after millennium in order to re-establish the principles of religion and to destroy the rascals and defend my devotees, protect my devotees. And actually the main purpose is to satisfy his devotees. This is one of the main purpose that Krishna appeared. Because in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada explained this verse, he said that actually Krishna doesn't need to come to this world in order to destroy the rascals and demons. He just needs to create some earthquake, and by this earthquake so many demons and bad people will be killed. So, but actually there is even more deep and esoteric meaning why Krishna appears in this world. And this one of the this esoteric meaning is in order to remind the other fallen living entities about himself. He appears in order to take them back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. This is one of the. And even if he wants to take them, out his devotees back to the spiritual world, he could send somebody else also. But no, he appears by himself. He's not sending somebody. He appears by himself. And actually, this is his sweetness. And he comes in order to conquer the hearts and the minds of the devotees in this world. This is also one of the deep and esoteric meaning. And how he does that is explained in a very wonderful verse from Sri Brahma Samhita. It's a famous verse. Ananda chinmaya rasatmataya manasu yat praninam pratipalam smaratam upetya lilaitena bhuvananti jayacha jasham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So he said, Ananda chinmaya rasatmataya manasu. He said that actually he comes, he appears here to unfold his lilas, lilayatena. And the nature of this pastimes is ananda chinmaya. It's full of bliss and full of eternity and What's the English word? Knowledge. Okay. After that, when he unfolded all these transcendental pastimes, the people within thousands and thousands of years will remember and glorify the pastimes of the Lord, and will take great bliss and enjoyment by hearing and by thinking about this and by contemplating on this pastimes. And it says that it will Yakpainam Pratipalam Smartam Upetya, and these pastimes will reflect in the minds of the living entities, in their minds will reflect. And the result of these lilas, Lila Jayati Jastram, as a result they will conquer the death. As a result, they will gain victory all of this world, and at the end, they will return home back to Godhead. So the Supreme Lord, He comes down to this world with a triumph in this world, and just like. Appearance in this world, day of this appearance of this world of Krishna is we called Krishna Jayanti. Krishna Jayanti, which is from the translation from the Sanskrit, is a victory. Krishna's victory over. And sometimes in India, you know, it's a custom to also call somebody's appearance as Jayanti. For example, Mahatma Gandhi's Jayanti, or Ramakrishna's Jayanti, or Jawaharlal Nehru's Jayanti. So actually, the main meaning and main purpose is this meaning of this word Jayanti refers only to the Supreme Lord. And actually, when what's the meaning of the Jayanti? What's he getting victory of, for, or of? I don't know. So actually, the meaning why he getting victory? He victory over the fallen souls, the victory over the hearts and the minds of the fallen souls in this world. This is his victory. He just charm with his pastimes, with his appearance, and with his body, and everything. But when ordinary people appear in this world, they actually it's not actually Jayanti. They actually during their life they're trying to fight, trying to get some victories, and they trying to conquer something during their life. But ultimately, they come here in order to get defeated by death, by old age, diseases, and everything. As is explained in fifth canto, where Rishabhadev instructs his sons, 100 sons, in this famous verse also from Bhagavatam 5.5.5. It is said that this verse starts with Parabhavastavada Bodha Jato. So the ordinary living entities, they come down here in order to get defeated by the material nature. Parabhava means defeat or misery. Parabhava. Parabhavastava Abodha Jato. So this actually is already predicted. Since we took birth, it's already predicted that we already would be defeated. So, in this sometimes I forget English. Sorry. And ultimately, we die by ourselves, and we get conquered. So, and why they get conquered, actually? Why they get defeated? Because of their ignorance. And Krishna comes down to this world to dissipate that ignorance. And he comes down and goes through with the triumph over this world to relieve the people from ignorance. So this is the purpose of his appearance. And just like you can check on yourself, you can think about Krishna, and you can see that your mind and your heart become a little more clear and more peaceful and calm, and material desires a little bit step back on a second plan. So this is the effect of remembering about Krishna's pastimes, and there is no doubt that there will be no ignorance when you think about them. So actually there is even more esoteric and more deep meaning of appearance of aura. There are so many meanings of the appearance of aura, and one of them is also he comes here, of course, he comes here in order to enjoy. This is his main duty, his main job. He doesn't have any heavy duties, heavy job here. He just, what he's doing here, he's just playing. That is his job, to play. And he comes down to this world in order to taste the sweetness of this lilas. Only here it's some special sweetness he can enjoy, only here in the material world. And because of what? Because it's more tasteful for him to enjoy with the fallen souls rather than in the spiritual life, a spiritual world, actually. Because, well, he likes, of course, everywhere, but this is some special rasa he enjoys here. And he take a special bliss by interacting with the foreign souls in this world. And for example, when he in Vaikuntha, the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha, and he hears how the thousands and million devotees glorify him in the spiritual world, and he sit down and listen to this glorification. But at one point he wants to some variety of enjoyment. So, and he decided at one point he decided to fight, for example. So, and special role in this pastimes is Yoga Maya is doing. She creates the environment for his pastimes. It's like she's like a producer for his pastimes, and she does all these things in order to Lord to come down and unfold his pastimes. And the Yoga Maya, she arranges that some very powerful living entities comes down to this world, play a role as enemy of the Supreme Lord, and he start enjoying fighting with them. Just like we know from the seventh canto, Srimad Bhagavatam explains this virya rasa of Shivali fighting with the demon Hiranyakashipu. And he was fighting, and after he killed him, and the whole universe was trembling with the fear of his anger. And and the demigods also was very fearful about his anger, because everything was trembling. And the demigods sent Prahlad Maharaj to pacify him. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was smiling, and he came with the prayers, and sit down on his lap, on Nisinga's lap, and start grab his chest and rub his chest, and it was tickling for Nisingadev, and he started smiling. But at that moment, one desire came to his mind, that he looked at Prahlad and said, how happy is this boy? He just enjoying my fatherly relationship. So at that time, he wanted to actually enjoy with the fatherly. He actually wanted to taste love of the father's love, because he said, I'm appeared here from the column, and I cannot enjoy the column cannot pat on my head, and I cannot feel that ecstatic fatherly love. So at that time, it appears the desire to feel that rasa of fatherly love. So, and next time he appears as Lord Rama, and when he came as Lord Rama, he in full felt all his Dasharatha's fatherly love in this world. And actually, because Dasharatha Maharaj, he also was waiting for a long time for the sun to appear. He was waiting for 60,000 years. So 60,000 years he didn't have any sun. And you can imagine when after this time his son appears. So he was so much loved by his father, Lord Ramachandra, and he enjoyed so much. And even at that time, even though Lord Ramachandra enjoyed this, he didn't felt complete satisfaction that he wanted. And because he had a wife, Sita, who later on he abandoned, and he had so many friends, the monkeys, and Sugriva, Vibhishana, so many, but they was kind of keep a distance from him, because he was like a master and they are a servant. And so he didn't feel that intimacy that he wanted to enjoy, and he wanted a little more close friendship with his devotees. And then he appeared next time as Krishna. in this thing that we actually also wanted as a Supreme Lord, we also wanted to feel that close relationship with our good friends, intimate relationship with the friends, with the lover, because actually we created for the love. The soul has this nature, original nature, to have love and to be loved and everything. So actually we want to also feel on ourselves, and this is our nature. So Krishna also wants to feel that a little more, and he appeared as Krishna. And when he came as Krishna, you know what, his friends, you know, they sit down on his neck and right on his back, and so he enjoyed so much sweet pastimes. And in this riding on his back, his friends manifest their special love for the Supreme Lord. Of course, we are not recommend to start with that, but with this love, Krishna, he enjoy fully, more fully than in previous incarnations. And but when Krishna appears in this world as Krishna, he appears not like a big king or big ruler or big something, powerful living entity. He appears as a small little boy. So he appears as a small little boy, and he's running back and forth throughout Vrindavan. And when he runs back and forth throughout Vrindavan, he charms his devotees in Vrindavan. And these devotees, they forget about everything. They forget about their special important duties, as to take care of the cows, take care of the, how to milk the cows and take other household duties. They forget everything. They only remember about Krishna. And this is their purpose, actually, the ideal purpose, goal of the human life, to remember Krishna and to don't think about anything else but Krishna. And he comes down in this world, in this on this planet Earth as a little boy with the color of dark black, blue lotus. And he, when he was running back and forth throughout Yashoda's courtyard, and sometimes Yashoda, she chastised him, and or sometimes Nanda Maharaj asked him to bring his sandals and bring and he's bringing him with the with the difficulty, you know. And in this scene, there's something special in this scene, right? So remember, he's the Supreme Lord. He, as Ananta Shesha, he's carrying so many universes and planets on his hood, and he can he can carry so much weight. But when he appears as little Krishna, he even cannot move the pot with the yogurt, and he's trying to move the pot of the with the yogurt, but he can't. And but after some time, he lifts his the Govardhan here on his little finger of the left hand when he needs. So when he needs, he can't, he can do it. So, but or when Yashoda, she is chasing after him and trying to chastise him and screaming at him, are you a thief? Why are you running away? And he's in horror, in big eyes, running away from Mother Yashoda, just like ordinary living being, and running away. And he said, no, I'm not a thief. I'm actually, I was born in a great, famous dynasty of Nanda Maharaj, and in this dynasty there was no thieves at all. And if I am a thief, if you call me a thief, that means I'm inherited from you, Yashoda, from your dynasty. So this here is this this was special. A special rasa that he enjoys with his devotees, and he enjoys, first of all, he enjoys by doing these pastimes, and also the living entities, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, enjoying so much with this pastime. So we reading in this chapter how Yashoda, in previous verses, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj was completely submerged with the thought of Krishna. As soon as he appears, so many, they forget everything. They forget so many things. They just remember only Krishna. And or when Yashoda caught him by the hands, actually she wanted to beat him with a stick, and she grabbed him by the hand, and she, he was so much in fear of Mother Yashoda that he just hid it behind the, her part of her sari. Actually, Krishna, he can hide with some mystical mystical some mystical things, but mystical power, yeah. But yeah, he just playing like ordinary living being. So he appears like ordinary living being here, and Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj, he talk about him as an ordinary living being, because it's as it says, Srila Prabhupada said in the purport, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. And actually the most deep and esoteric meaning why he Lord appeared in this world to give enjoyment to his parents, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. This is his one of the best meanings and hidden purpose and mystery why he appeared here. And also it is explained that also in the Vedas it is explained that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda also didn't have a baby for a long time. For a long time they didn't have... actually Nanda Maharaj also appeared from the very famous dynasty, from the dynasty of Devamidhi Maharaj. So Devamidhi Maharaj, he had two wives. So he married two wives. One he married from the caste of Kshatriya, another wife he married from the caste of Vaishya. So from the 10 sons appear from the Kshatriya's wife, 10 sons, and the eldest was Vasudeva. Shurasena. Shurasena was born from Devamidha, and from Devamidha appeared 10 sons, and the eldest is Vasudeva. And the Vaishya girl he married was Parjanya Maharaj. Parjanya Maharaj, from Vaishya's wife appeared Parjanya Maharaj, and from Parjanya Maharaj appeared 5 sons. And because by tradition, 5 sons, it's Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sunanda, and Nandana. So, Shurasena, he settled up in Mathura, and Parjanya Maharaj settled up in Bandiravan, right? Bandiravan, yeah, Badravan. So, and because by tradition, you know, the son of the mother inherit the caste of the son inherit the caste of the mother. So they become Vaishyas. So he start taking care of the cows and become a Vaishya, and Vasudev become a Kshatriya. So these two sons, the Parjanya Maharaj, he named his 5 sons with the same root, Nanda. Nanda means to give happiness, those who are happy, Nanda, with this. The middle son was Nanda Maharaj, middle son. So, but when he, Parjanya Maharaj, at the end of his life, he went to the forest to renounce. So he left his eldest son, Upananda, in order to rule his kingdom. But Upananda, it's explained in other Vedic literature that Upananda, he was very happy to coronate his younger brother, the middle one, the Nanda Maharaj, because he saw that all in his community, everybody loved Nanda Maharaj better than him. So he coronated, and everybody was very happy with the Nanda Maharaj that he was ruling, and he was happy, and he was very generous ruler of the of his kingdom, little kingdom, and everything was fine, and everybody was happy. But he had some little sadness in his mind that he didn't have any son, and all the inhabitants of this kingdom, they was praying to them, to Lord Narayan, to the Supreme Lord, you know, to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda to have a son, finally. And he also was thinking about that, how come that I don't have, and he was contemplating on that, and he understood why he doesn't have a son for so many time. And he came up to his wife Yashoda and said, we don't have a son so much, because, every time when I think about son, in my mind appears so beautiful little boy that diminishes the beauty of Lord Narayana himself. And I can help myself, but I don't want to have any other sons but this little boy that I'm thinking of. And that's why probably, who am I who can have this kind of special son? That's why probably Supreme Lord doesn't send me any other son, because and that's why we don't have so much, so long time, don't have any son. And Mother Yashoda looked at him and said, you know what, I think the same thing. As soon as I start thinking about the son, is in my mind the same beautiful boy appears, who is more beautiful than all other living entities. And so they decided to do Dvadashi Vrata. During 1 year, they decided to do severe austerity, maintaining the Dvadashi fast. So, and at some point after they finished, at the end of this, Lord Narayana appeared in their dreams and said, be prepared. I'm very satisfied with you and I'm ready to appear. So, and after some time, Nanda Maharaj, he could feel that one living entity appeared, something going to happen soon. And he understood it by a very interesting thing. He had his wife Yashoda, who was very submissive and very calm and peaceful wife. At some point, he saw that Yashoda was a little caprice, some naughty, become naughty, and she started asking for the sweets. And she, when the woman is pregnant, they have a special mindset start. And so she started blossoming, and she became very beautiful. It is explained that she became even more beautiful, 1,000 full moons. So Mother Yashoda, and everybody in Vrindavan, they understood that something going to happen soon. Something very auspicious going to come. Some special personality appears in Mother from Mother Yashoda. And at that moment, another personality appears. At one point, at Nanda Maharaj's doors, one lady, old lady, who was wearing the saffron robe and with a trident. And she knocked and she said, I want to settle up here in Vrindavan. Can you allow me, please, to... Because I know the future, I know the... And he started asking, who are you, Nanda Maharaj, and why you all of a sudden want to come and live here? She said, well, my name is Parnamasi, and I came here where I can help I can predict all the future. And another little boy came with her, and one little brahmachari, who was looked very much like Narada Muni. And she said, this is a little brahmachari, he is the best of the brahmanas, and his name is Madhu Mangal. So these two heroes in this scene appeared a little bit before Krishna in order to prepare for Krishna to unfold his pastimes. And when Krishna appeared, he appeared, and so all the Vrindavan and all the living entities, they was full of bliss and ecstasy before. Birds was charming, and all the trees and was full of fruits and flowers, and so the whole land of Raja was prepared for the Lord's appearance, and everybody was happy. So, and Krishna, he gave this bliss to inhabitants of Vrindavan for 11 and a half years. And after some 11 and a half years, he walked out of Vrindavan and never returned. And so we can think about this leelas and think about this Krishna's pastimes, and we can actually, with our mind and with our consciousness, we can transfer to this transcendental world where there is no pain, there is no struggle, there is no calamities. So, and this is a secret of success. We can think about Krishna, we can think about pastimes of Krishna, and we can be participants of Krishna's leelas, not just be indifferent contemplator, thinking, meditating on him, but we can be participants of his leelas in the spiritual world. Thank you very much for your listening. Hare Krishna. Maybe anybody has any questions or comments. Well, practically, well, he went, but everybody was disturbed by, he never appeared before gopis before. Well, of course, he never leaves Vrindavan. He never leaves, but externally, he leaves Vrindavan.
In Krishna's Leela in this world, Prakat Leela, Bom Leela, Krishna goes to Mathura. But yeah. Three different prakosht is like an alternate ending, a good way to describe. After 90 days coming back, and certainly after the killing of Dantaravakra, he comes back. The whole Gopal Champu, which you're reading from, which you're explaining from, Krishna's back. They're Madhukant and Snigdhakant, they're giving Harikatha to Brijabasis, and Krishna's there. So he's narrating the history of what happened, and they're reliving it like Harikatha. Mm-hmm. So Krishna was already back. So after the killing of Dantaraka, generally accepted, all Purans, that Krishna then crossed over and came back into Vrindavan.
Well, in sense that he left that in the minds of the gopis, there was so much destroyed by his disappearance. And they never saw him back again, right?
No. In Gopal Champa, which you're reading from, at night time, they would narrate in the morning to everyone in general.
After evening, 90 days, you said? 90 days?
What Jiva Goswami Pada said, in one prakosht, after 90 days, because when Krishna was leaving to go to Mathura, that time the gopis openly expressed their love for Krishna, so they could never go back to their homes. Mm-hmm. 90 days they stayed at Uddhav Kyari. At that time, after 90 days, in one prakosht, Jiva Goswami says Krishna returned. Another prakosht means another ending to the story, so to speak. Krishna stays in Mathura, goes to Dwarka, kills all demons. Finally, after killing Dantaraka, he comes back.
And stays?
And stays permanently. Mm. At that time...
But nobody saw him at that time.
Everybody saw him. He's sitting in the assembly with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda in the morning while Snigdhakant and Madhukant are reciting this history. Mm. And they're all reliving it. And then in the evening time, he's sitting there, and sometimes when Snigdhakant or Madhukant would tell any story that was very separation or painful, he would say, oh, but be pacified, because Krishna's sitting right next to you. Mm-hmm. So like this. So yeah, Gopal Champa was based on this.
Well, in another sense, it's also Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, and he always in the mind of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, so they're always with him in that sense. It's also, I forgot to mention one thing, when actually Yashoda, she was carrying Krishna always. At the end, only Yogamaya appeared. And when Vasudev brought Krishna from Mathura, these two Krishnas merged together. So this is a mystery of his appearance also. This is also one. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Haribol.